Culture Ninja with Nathan and Nathan. How you doing today, Nathan?
I'm doing awesome because we have guests.
We do.
And these I guess aren't technically our first guests because Greg was really on the first podcast, but this is
That's true. Sort of
like our first legitimate guest that we badgered ourselves and coerced to come on to the show.
That's right. Greg was an illegitimate guest. that's great. So, yeah, we're excited. We're going to get to these two fine, upstanding gentlemen in a few moments here. But first, we want to remind everybody about the contest that we have going on. So if you write a review for us on iTunes, if you mention us in a post on Facebook, if you retweet us in your Twitter account, you will automatically be entered in for the drawing that we're going to have. Next week, we're going to pull – did we say one or two people for that?
We can pull two.
Okay.
Let's do that.
So if we said one, we're going to do two now. So we're going to pull two people's names for that, and you will win a great prize from us. So,
yes.
And Nathan, you just actually sent out the
– everything's been sent out. So anyone who won anything all the way to – last week when Chris Ragsdale won, everything's been sent out. So
excellent.
It was just recently sent out, so you should receive it shortly.
Within the week. Excellent. Yeah. All right. So we're going to go ahead and introduce our guests. First guest, Chris. Chris, how you doing today?
Hey, guys. I'm glad to be here. I'm a longtime fan of the Pop Culture Ninja podcast. So
it's good to have you on, man.
And Chris is not kidding, because not only was he a fan, he was actually one of the inaugural members back like 3 years ago. One of those times I've referenced us like, you know, coating the basement in blankets and whatnot to get the right sound. Chris was part of that. So you're like the PCN ghost of Christmas past or something.
Indeed.
Nice, nice. Chris, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, actually, friend of Nathan for quite some time now. We've been hanging out for a long time. He's kind of like a brother to me. And we watch a lot of movies together. So I've kind of gotten appreciation from cinema from just hanging around Nathan, you know. Huge nerd. So I've always liked playing games and just having a good time with folks. So I'm excited to be here.
All right. It's great to have you. And Bob, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
It's good to have you on here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Years ago, worked in the game industry as a journalist. I worked for a trade publication that is no longer in circulation, but it was called MM Wire, and it was read by game companies, executives, marketing people, you name it, even developers. And that was a really cool gig. I got to go to two E3s.
Nice.
1999, played Dreamcast a few months before it came out, Ready to Rumble. And I looked at my editor in chief and I was like, yeah, I'm getting this on day one. And then I went to 2000. Then I was blessed enough to go to Game Developers Conference in 2000 as well. And that's not as big of a hubbub in the industry, at least for consumers.
Mm-hmm.
However, that particular year, I got to see Bill Gates introduce original Xbox. It was
nice.
At a, you know, big theater, you know, big, you know, to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's not something you soon forget. You know, I mean, I tried desperately to land an interview with him and it was very futile. So,
funny.
after that, I worked for a consumer website. It was called gamers.com.
Mm-hmm.
No, also no longer around, unfortunately. There I actually wrote about the games themselves instead of the business of selling games.
Okay.
You know, so I was living the dream, man. I was getting paid to play games and write about them.
Nice.
So
that was like the burgeoning wild frontier of games, too, when they really started to be something else.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, consoles were just getting online. Things were happening. I mean, it's constantly evolving, you know. So I haven't been in the industry since 2002,
mm-hmm.
Haven't stopped my passion for games,
yeah.
You know, and it's just really awesome to see where it's going, where it's headed.
Yeah, absolutely. And great to have you on.
Thank you.
So today we're going to be talking about E3, mainly Chris, Bob, and I. Nathan, I know you got some questions you're going to throw in here and there.
I'll find a way to weasel myself.
That's right. They keep pulling me back. Let's go ahead and get started. Now, for me, I know I saw the press releases for all three major console systems. So I think that would be a good place to start and then see kind of where things trail off. Did you see any of the press releases, Chris?
Yeah, actually, I did a lot of reading about it. Saw some really, really cool stuff I'm looking forward to. Looks like we're going to have a great another year in gaming.
Yeah, yeah. Let's start with, in my opinion, you guys feel free to disagree with me on this, the worst press release of the bunch, Nintendo. Would you guys agree that was probably the worst one?
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, with the exception of Zelda.
Yeah. yeah.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it just, you know, you and I were talking about this earlier, but what are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, like... Yeah.
Pokemon games.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, right, right. And can you imagine, Nathan, a Pokemon on Xbox or PlayStation 4 or PC? You know, I mean, again, people love Nintendo not for their hardware, but for their intellectual properties.
Yep. Right, their characters and everything. Yeah. Like, it was the stuff that you remembered
Absolutely.
And looked onto.
I mean, talk about Pokemon on PC. I remember playing the first Pokemon game as, you know, on an emulator on my PC so many years ago. Yeah. And it's ridiculous how good that stuff is.
They're a very perplexing company.
Yeah. They've been trailing for a little while, though, haven't they?
Yeah. They have. This generation... They've been a perennial loser this generation. Yeah, Wii U
they'll
was
always
misfire.
Have the power glove.
Yes, yes.
You know, and another, the wizard.
Speaking of misfires, yeah. So, yeah, that's Wii U. First of all, terrible name.
Yeah,
terrible name. Parents had no idea what it was. You know, it didn't really. Make it. I mean, hardware wise, of course, you know, it was a lot more powerful than the Wii. But parents are like, my son wants the new Wii. I think it's called the Wii Me or something. You know,
which sounds like Mini Me.
You know, so you know, I mean, it was confusing. They should have just chose an entirely different name. So marketing fail there.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then of course, you know, not a lot of third-party support.
Yeah,
all the first-party Nintendo games are almost always a hit, so they got that going for them. But that's really the only compelling reason to own a Nintendo system, at least when it comes to consoles that you hook up to a TV. You know, handhelds, slightly different story.
Yeah, yeah. Chris, thoughts?
Yeah, one thing about Nintendo too, I feel that most of their stuff is aimed at a younger age, which, understandably, if you're a parent, you're going to want to have probably some sort of gaming system for your kids. And I feel like you're getting more of your artistic games probably on your PS4s and Xbox Ones. Mm. I feel like the hardware really helps the developers come up with really cool, unique worlds and visuals. So I think that the Nintendo definitely has its specific thing that it's going for.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, let's talk about the let's skip over Pokemon, pretend it never happened at this press release. Let's talk about Zelda, because that was a pretty kick butt demo that they had there. Chris, thoughts on Zelda when you saw it?
Always love Zelda. I don't know how this could possibly go wrong. I mean, it looks fun.
Yeah,
I've always had fun with Zelda. It's just a great series.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to playing whatever else they do.
What was something that stuck out to you in this demo?
More Zelda, really. Nothing specific really stuck out to me. Mm-hmm. I'm just always excited when I see a new one. So, I do have much more specific thoughts on other things. But that with this game, I'm just like, give me the game.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Bob?
Yeah. So it sounds like they're going to do the same thing with this new Zelda. And I, for some reason, I'm drawing a blank on the subtitle. I don't know if you have that handy, Chris, but no pressure.
Is it Breath of the Wild?
Something like
that. Yes, I believe so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. So it sounds like they're going to do the same thing that they did with Twilight Princess, which was the last major Zelda game. At that time, they released it on GameCube toward the end of its life cycle.
Yes.
And then Wii, when the Wii first came out. So in this case, they're going to be doing it on Wii U as well as their NX platform, which is supposed to come out, I think, next spring. You know, is there going to be a huge difference? No one really knows. There wasn't with GameCube to Wii,
right.
Except the controls. But graphically, you know, it looked the same, sounded the same. You just had a controller on the GameCube and a wand for the Wii.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're going to do that. You know, I'll probably just hang on to my Wii U and hold off on the NX.
Sure,
you
know? Yeah, sure.
So. Yeah.
One of the things that I'm looking forward to is this looks like it's going to be a massive open world map, and that's really exciting to me. Yeah. Sometimes open world maps can be very daunting, but it seems, at least from the demo, the small portion that they showed of the world that they were in, that there's so much to do and so much to explore that I don't think you can. I mean, it's almost like a Skyrim-esque, you know, massive open world.
That's
feel.
Not a bad thing.
No, yeah. No,
yeah.
Yeah, so
that'll definitely give some appeal to some of the older players too. Like, yeah, that like a lot of content.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other thoughts on Nintendo? I feel like this was really it for them.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just make games for other systems.
Yeah,
just do it.
Just stop.
Do it. You know, you will do a 180. It's not going to be like Sega. You know, if you guys recall, you know, Sega used to make hardware, of course.
Right.
You know, Dreamcast was their last machine. And then it wasn't working out. It got crushed by PS2.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know what? We're just going to make games for other systems. Hey, great. Because people love Sonics. People love the Sega franchises. Mm-hmm. Well, think how much people love those Nintendo IPs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, really, that's where they need to go with this. And people have been saying it for years. There must be some stubborn leadership within Nintendo. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, they feel like they want full control. And if they're making it for other hardware, maybe they don't have that control.
Mm.
So,
yeah. Well, the future will tell on that one. So,
of course, yeah.
Next, in my opinion, I'm going to put this out to everybody. I own a PS4. I'm a PlayStation fan. I thought Xbox was the next weakest out there, but it wasn't for anything other than the fact that they debuted two new systems.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like if you're debuting two new systems back to back, and one comes out in August and the other comes out, I think it's the beginning of next year. So we're talking very close to when Xbox One came out. I just felt like there was a lot of stuff going on that was propelling you toward what these systems could do and what they were going to be. Now, in terms of the game content that's coming out, I mean, the games look great.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt about it. I'm really looking forward to Gears of War 4. I've played that series with friends of mine, so I'm really looking forward to what they have in store for that one. I'm hoping they fix some of the glitches, you know, bend down, pick up this gun. Oh, wait, don't pick up this one. Drop this one, then pick up that one. So I'm hoping they've resolved some of those issues, but I am looking forward to playing that one. You guys have thought, just on Xbox in general, do you agree that that might have been the next weakest one or disagree? Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I feel like they're kind of going the Apple direction in that here's our new console. Mm-hmm. It does what you expect it to do, and it's a little smaller, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, they have their Xbox One S mm-hmm. coming out around August.
Yeah.
And then next year is Scorpio, and it's natural for a consumer to be concerned, well, hey, am I going to be able to play all the new games?
Right.
They made it really clear that you will be. There. Yes. Some weird phrase, like no gamer left behind.
Yes.
You know,
so, yeah.
You know,
all they care.
They have to make up something from the jump from 360 to Xbox One.
Right. You know? So the no gamer left behind, you know, so a game comes out on Scorpio, you're still going to have it on your original Xbox One. What that experience is going to look like on Scorpio versus the original Xbox One, that's a question.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, Xbox One Slim, that's coming out in August. Really, the biggest thing is going to be the 4K display. So we have four guys in this room right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I can take a guess. But do any of us here own 4K TVs?
No.
Oh,
I would love to.
Nathan, I really had you pegged for a 4K owner.
Yeah, I jumped right to a projector. So I have a projector in the
basement. Is it a 4K projector? I don't even know if those exist.
Yeah, but, no.
Yeah. So 4K adoption is not really high. And yet they were talking it up. And I'm just wondering, you know, like, you know what the best way to get a high adoption rate is? Drop the price.
Yeah.
I mean, HDTV really didn't catch on until that happened.
Yeah.
And now they're a dime a dozen thing. God for that. You know, I mean, they're everywhere, you know. So, but 4K, it's coming. It will come down in price. It already has come down in price. But right now, I don't care that Xbox One S has 4K.
Yeah.
Because I don't have a 4K TV.
Yep. Yeah.
The only other interesting thing I saw, a friend of mine brought this up to me. The new controller has Bluetooth built in. And that's significant because in the future, it may be able to pair with your iOS device or your Android device. They already have apps on there. What if, and I'm just thinking hypothetically, if they enable in-home Wi-Fi streaming?
Mind blown.
To those devices. Right, right, right. You know, I mean, I would love to play it on my iPad, you know, if my wife wants to watch TV and I can't exactly get in at that time. Okay, well, I'll just take my iPad over here and,
right,
you know, link up the controller with my iPad and,
yeah,
and carry on, you, yeah, know.
So. Now, you were talking about, you know, the compatibility of the controller. The one thing that was emphasized over and over again is you buy one game and you can play it on multiple platforms.
Yeah.
And to me, that was the brilliance of what they did. Now, I felt like they talked it up, but they didn't show it enough, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that?
Chris? Yeah.
No, not particularly. I think you hit the nail on the head on that one.
I agree. I mean, it's... Obviously, you know, on the PC side, it is going to be limited by your hardware.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So if you've got a piece of crap laptop, but it's running Windows 10, you're not playing Gears of War 4, okay?
Right.
You're basically
you're just working at the title screen.
Right, right. You're checking your Xbox feed or through the Xbox app, and that's about it. You're not going to be playing that. So, but if you happen to be a guy like me who owns an Xbox One as well as a game-worthy PC... Mm-hmm. That's compelling.
It opens up some new possibilities.
It's compelling, yeah. You know. So, yeah, for sure.
Games that you guys are excited about on the Xbox. Chris, you're chomping at the bit there.
Well, I mean, primarily, I used to be an Xbox guy, and I made the switch to PS4, and I love my PS4 now. But I'm still pretty excited about a game that I unfortunately never got to play, because I didn't get an Xbox One. It's just Titanfall, and the new Titanfall is coming out.
So
I'm still like... Oh man, that looks amazing! I can't wait to play it. And I was like, "Oh, I can't."
Isn't that's not coming to PS4?
I don't know. I assume
EA.
Not.
It's they showed it for Xbox, but I do believe that's going to be multi.
I hope so, because they're like, there's so many people who would play it buy their game and whatever DLC they put out if they allowed PS4, you know, compatibility.
Yeah,
like me, I'm a sucker for that.
So, what is Titanfall? Is this the game you were telling me about?
No, that's another one that's pretty exciting. But Titanfall is basically a multiplayer game where you get to command your giant mechs and destroy other players. That's basically
might be mechs involved.
Yes.
and the big knock against the original was it was multiplayer only.
Okay.
You know, there was no single player story mode. They've addressed that with the sequel.
I cherish a good single player.
Yeah, me too. I love it. They're interactive movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So to have that in
interactive movies the way Warcraft was not, that's a whole but that does, well, we'll get to that.
Yeah,
the art behind video games.
Sure.
Yeah.
Don't you mean blue magic versus green magic in the movie?
Nathan, do you remember that piece about video games are not art that Roger Ebert wrote years ago?
Yes, he would always bang on about that. He wrote an article where he came out and was very adamant. Like, the thing I liked about Roger, like, he is a great writer. He's a great, like, understanding of film. But he was definitely, in his later years, when he discovered the internet and how many people you could tick off at once.
Oh, yeah.
He became a purposeful curmudgeon. Like, he would apologize later, but you know he was happy to get, like, thousands of course, angry fans coming to.
Yeah.
But he said video games were not art. He even, like, riled up Clive Barker, who was shooting back and forth with him about whether they could ever be art. And he just basically said straight up, no, they will never be art. Which is a great way to just shut yourself down from the conversation.
Sounds like Roger Ebert never played The Last of Us.
he never played anything. This was back in the time when we didn't have quite the level of games we have now. The big game at the time they were rising up and showing him was Shadow of Colossus. That's where we were at the time.
Right, that's what they were.
You just started to have a story where you had choices and should you kill the Colossus, should you not kill the Colossus. I don't think Ebert was still paying attention when we started to get things like Bioshock and games like that that took that to a different level.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Other games that you guys are excited to see coming out for Xbox?
Well, I got to say, so it sounds like I'm the only Xbox owner in the room.
That's okay. I know enough people with an Xbox, so I'm sure I'll be playing these games sooner or later.
Yeah. I got to say, you know, they did have some new IPs. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm drawing a total blank on all of the names. There was one by Rare. Microsoft bought Rare years ago, and Rare is best known for GoldenEye on N64.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Classic.
Yeah.
Right, right. So, but Microsoft owns them, really hasn't done much since that acquisition.
Yeah.
But they've got a pretty significant pirate game.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I did see that, and I'm also drawing a blank on that name.
And I'm trying to pull it up on my phone,
like
but
a straight up pirate game.
We are in the middle of like a farm or something. I don't know. We're like I can barely get a cell signal.
We're under the dome.
I'm pretty sure I travel through time, and it's like the year 2000 right now. So, the parking lot's not
Wi-Fi?
Even paved.
Wi-Fi? What's that?
You know, but
this is less accessible than the island on Lost.
Yes. So
Lost
so,
was filmed here. So
I'm very much crippled right now because I kind of outsource my memory to my smartphone.
Yeah, yeah.
For better or for worse.
Yeah.
You probably just took a wrong turn.
So I probably should have asked for the Wi-Fi password before we started.
But yeah, well, I couldn't have given it to you anyway. I don't know it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
So. Yeah. Well, and it's funny because you say, you know, don't remember the name. They demoed a dragon game that boasts like the biggest boss ever. I don't remember.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, that looked,
which is a pretty bold claim.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that looked pretty, pretty good.
Yeah.
There was, this point where the main character is like, he looks like he's got these dragon scales on him coming down his arms and he's in this leather jacket. And then like something happens and he almost transforms into this knight. And, you know, so I wish I could remember the name of the game, but I mean, it looked like a pretty
Reign of Fire 2.
Yeah. minus Christian Bale.
They did show, and this is going to be multi-platform, but they did show Battlefield 1.
Yes.
And that game, I mean, if I was Activision, I'd be worried, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that game, World War 1 setting, you know, it's been a while since we've had a World War 1 game. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we've ever really had a standout World War One game.
Yeah.
So really looking forward to that. The thing that I've always preferred Battlefield over Call of Duty, and I'm probably in the minority if sales are any indication. Mm-hmm. The thing I've always preferred about Battlefield, at least starting with Battlefield 3, is the Frostbite engine. Frostbite engine, it basically features destructible environments.
Yeah.
So you're in a game. Guy goes behind a concrete wall or inside a house, you know, hey, just whip out the RPG, take care of business, you know, I mean,
right.
So,
ride the lightning.
But it also adds a strategic element to it, you know, because, you know, I've hid behind those walls, not for protection, but so I couldn't be seen by the guy, by the tank passing by, you know, who could easily blow me away, even though I'm in a house.
Right.
Which is how it should be, because in real life, if you're in a house and a tank shoots the house, you're probably not going to come in.
Right.
Yeah. So, but really just an incredibly, they always dress it up, you know, I mean, they did use gameplay footage at E3, but they have awesome music. You know, they had, what was it? Seven Nation Army.
Yeah.
So, you know, they always do that at the Ravens and the O's games. And now I think it's national phenomena. But
well, it seems too like those Battlefield games, because actually I've only played Battlefield game. I've never actually played Call of Duty. I saw roommates play Call of Duty. Battlefield always felt like it was really trying to keep pushing towards being as immersive into the feeling of being in a battle as
absolutely
possible.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, it's compelling, because then you're getting to that thing where you're getting into a simulation element. When we talk about that difference between movies and video games, like that's part of the storytelling art, I think, in a game like Battlefield, where, you know, you watch a movie like Saving Private Ryan, you see that the D-Day scene is really intriguing because of how it gets you riled up and feeling like you're there. Like the next step being, oh, like, there's no shelter anywhere, you know, like people being shelled with bombs in World War One. Well, you're not going to get that feeling where you can run into a house and be safe.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. Yep.
Very good. Any other last thoughts on Xbox?
Not really, no. I just, you know, and this is an Xbox fan, Xbox owner. I have to agree with you, Nathan. They were number two.
Yeah.
They really were. And That concerns me because I have a lot of money invested in my Xbox. So don't blow this, Microsoft.
Yeah. So by far, I think PlayStation just blew it out of the water. Yep. I mean, live orchestra is set up in the pit. You know, every single person that comes out has their own theme music. I mean, just the presentation that they put into it was fantastic. And to me, they weren't debuting anything new in terms of systems and hardware. You got to see some stuff with the virtual reality, which we expected.
Yep.
But to me, virtual reality is an accessory. I can still play my PlayStation. I don't need it now. It's a very expensive accessory, mm-hmm. but an accessory nonetheless. And I am stoked for the lineup that they have of games coming out. Let's just start off right off the bat. God of War.
Oh my goodness. Chris? I can't wait for that. I love the entire God of War franchise, and this is going in like kind of almost completely different direction.
Yeah.
I love that they've got a real nice Norse feel to it. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, you're dealing with the Greek elements and stuff, which is awesome. But I just can't wait for this game. It looks fantastic. I can't wait to beat guys down with his new axe.
Yeah.
You know? I just love a good that hack and slash. Awesome. So.
Yeah. The axe was good. Yeah. My buddy and I, we were watching at the same time. He's like, what's his name? Kratos?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's like, he doesn't have an axe. He has chains or something. I was like, but yeah, man, that axe looks really cool.
Yeah.
And I like the element of the sun kind of going along with him.
Yeah.
He's older and bearded now. It has that kind of Beowulf sort of feel to it.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
It looks like he's not much more of a character, but they're trying to make him a more sympathetic character as opposed to just some guy that tears through everybody.
Yes.
So I'm intrigued to see how that all plays out.
Yeah. Well, when we talked about, you know, or at some point we'll go more in depth talking about, you know, storyline and bringing out, you know, invoking emotions. I mean, you know, you felt sorry for the little kid. You know, he shoots the deer. He's never killed anything before. And like, you know, you're kind of sitting there almost tearing up like, man, this, you know, you could picture something like this gruff, you know, father who's battle hardened, you know, wanting to comfort his son, but he's woefully inadequate to do it, you know?
I feel like this is going to be that final Conan the Barbarian movie that everybody wanted but never got in like film form. Probably better off that we didn't.
Chris, games you're excited to see coming out?
Oh, now that we've got to PlayStation, I have so many.
He's got his phone out.
So I wrote a bunch of notes down last night on my phone.
He did his homework, man. He
God of War was ironically on the top of my list.
No Wi-Fi necessary. Got it.
Can't wait to talk about Doom later at some point. But I saw that they're doing Quake Champions.
Yes.
I'm super excited about that. I'll be honest, Quake was my really first love when it comes to shooters as a kid. Like I just loved that game because it was so creepy. There was always that one monster that you forgot, and it's still yelling, like growling at you across the screen. You're like, it's going to eat me at any given point because I don't know where it is. So I really love that. I can't wait to see some more Quake. So Quake Champions, I'm all about that. One that just like stood out to me as just a great concept. It's this game called For Honor, and it looks like you may have seen the trailer for that.
Yes,
where you're on some kind of eternal battlefield, and you've got your samurais fighting Vikings, fighting knights.
Yes,
sword play looks fun. That looks like a just great hack and slash game. Mm-hmm. I'm super excited about that.
Yeah. Now, Bob, did you see that one, the For Honor?
Because it's a new IP. It didn't really stand out, you know, from the rest. I guess I'm kind of a creature of habit, which is why, you know, existing franchises do so well.
Right.
But yeah, but I tip my hat to them for coming out with new, you know, games and not just...
Well, speaking of like existing franchises, as you mentioned that, I noticed some of these games are getting a little long in the tooth. In terms of series, this year we're getting. Next year we're getting Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah,
it's kind of going online.
Which they debuted on Xbox as well. So that was actually one that you saw on Xbox.
And it looks good.
Yeah,
but is anybody going to get tired of Final Fantasy? I mean, because they're a different story and a different
that experience is just, every that time. Is classic economics 101. When my junior year in high school, supply and demand. If people are buying it, you keep making it.
Yep. End of story. And that is why we've had Pokemon for so long.
Exactly.
Hey, I brought it all back.
Though, to be fair to, I think, Final Fantasy, for the most part, and I've played every single one of them, but even all the way back to like PS2 and forward, even if the game wasn't like super successful, you always feel like they were really trying. I don't feel like they ever really were phoning in. There was one Final Fantasy in there somewhere that kind of felt like a little wrongheaded, but it never feels like they're just churning. I mean, churning them out to churn them out. There's always like a lot of great work put into them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not a knock on it. I just thought it was funny. We're up to like number 15 in the franchise.
Yeah. Well, and if you think about it, though, it's what, over 30 years that they've been doing?
Yeah. Started on the original Nintendo.
Yeah. So
maybe I should have brought that up during the Nintendo stuff. Sorry.
I still like to pull out Final Fantasy II from time to time.
Nice. Classic.
One last one that I'm really excited about. I'm sure all you guys are familiar with this one because this is like the really hot new property, I think, for PlayStation 4. Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yes.
Looks amazing.
Yeah. Another open world game.
Totally.
Yep.
I just finished, and I'm probably a little more excited for it now because I just finished playing Far Cry Primal, where you're basically a caveman fighting people with bows and arrows and spears.
That's the one with like the girl with the red hair, reddish hair.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kind of looks like Merida from Brave almost.
Yes.
You know? Like a saber-toothed tiger.
Right. Yeah. It definitely had a Far Cry vibe to it.
Yeah, and you're so this one looks just amazing. I have no idea what happened to the planet. I guess I'll learn a little more about the background, but and I don't even know if it's Earth, but you're on a planet with surrounded by these just giant robotic monsters that want to kill you, and all you have is like a bow and arrow and a few pieces of explosive. So
yeah,
it just looks crazy incredible. I can't wait for that.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting is watching the demo, I mean, there are aspects like you've got to read these creatures to find out their weaknesses and how to destroy them, what they're susceptible to in terms of what primitive weapons you're using. But you can
tame them too.
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah. You can call over like a wild robotic bull and ride it around the field. And so, yeah.
Yeah. That was crazy. The bull.
Yeah.
So is this a brand new game or is it a sequel to something?
That's brand new game. Brand new,
yeah. They rolled out several new IPs.
I think it was 30 minutes of new games coming out.
Yeah. I mean, did you guys notice how they hardly talked at all at Sony press conference? It was just, you know,
press a button. Here we go.
Microsoft was blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, and then just, hey guys, welcome. We feel really sorry about Orlando. Check it out.
Yeah. There's no easy way to transition. But right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's exactly, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. I they felt compelled to make a note, you know.
Well, and I did notice that every single press conference made mention of
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's fine. Right. Absolutely. It's horrible. But yeah, it kind of puts a damper cuz E3 is supposed to be a celebration of this stupid little hobby that we have, really, in the big scheme of things.
Right.
It means nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know,
right.
It was good that they kind of, you know, tipped their cap and said, hey, you know, we're not insensitive jerks.
Right.
And now if you don't want to be depressed all the time, pop in a game.
That's right. Let's talk about the virtual reality component because they rolled out several. There was no gameplay on any of them, but just several ideas that they're coming out. Teasers, really, is what they were for the virtual reality. Thoughts on virtual reality? I'm going to start over here, Bob, with you.
First thought is I think it's extremely difficult for them to show exactly how immersive it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I even saw a little disclaimer on the video that said, you know, formatted for non-VR.
Yeah.
You know, so... you know, that's a challenge in terms of marketing.
Yeah.
I really think they're going to have tons of in-store kiosks for people to fully understand what this is like. Mm. I'm a big skeptic of VR.
Yeah.
You know, Oculus, you know, they're owned by Facebook, Vive, HTC Vive, you know, they got all this stuff. Where are the games? You know? And to Sony's credit, I mean, you know, obviously they've got the synergy going with PlayStation 4 and PlayStation VR, and it's the least expensive, but it's still like $399, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, the hardcore group, you know, the guys in the room here, yeah, you'll probably get it. And maybe that's who all they're expecting, but is it going to go mass market?
Yeah.
hard to see. Not at that price.
Right.
Yeah, I don't really see it being a big thing with this generation of consoles.
No.
Yeah.
I feel like right now they're in that testing phase, you know, and getting things together. It'll be much more impressive, I think, another next time we have a big major console release. But, and yeah, I didn't really pay a whole lot of attention to it because I know it's kind of in works right now.
Sure.
Don't you think, like, hardcore gaming, though, even hardcore gamers are going to want to wait at least until there's, like, a library of titles to some degree, or how it works here. I'm not.
Yeah, well, to PlayStation's credit, though, they said that they were going to have 50 working titles when or 50 titles on the release date when it comes out.
Wow.
That's significant.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's better than any other VR platform.
Yeah.
And they might claim that they have that many games, but we're talking, you know, games that people know and love.
Yeah, I mean, one of the teasers that you got was the new Batman Arkham VR.
Okay.
Star Wars Battlefront VR. I mean, so there are some significant things that are coming out that I think it's really going to entice people to want to check this out for those titles that they've been playing and they've stuck with. And so, hey, let's see how virtual reality changes this perspective.
Like Bob, I think I'm a little bit of a skeptic, though. I mean, we've heard VR from all the way back in the days of, like, the 90s.
Sure.
Lawnmower Man and stuff like that. It was going to allow us to be smarter than we were. And, you know, you kept getting that kind of stuff over and over and over again. And I'm sure that now, like, they're using this term VR and virtual reality. But, I mean, is that exactly what we're getting? Or we're just getting a few extra bells and whistles, a little more immersive.
It appeals mainly to two senses, your sight. And your hearing.
Yeah.
When I went to E3, this is like in 2000, guys. You know, there was the crappy exhibit hall in the basement where, like, all the little guys were. and there was this one company, I don't even remember what they were called, but they had the whole smell-o-vision demo going. Hooked up, you know, and they were trying to sell it to, I'm sure, to game
developers.
Smell the
bloody battlefield.
I'm telling you right now, though.
It's like the Simpsons have come to life.
The tech worked, you know, like, but. You know, how do you apply that in a practical situation?
Right.
And my answer is, want to apply it?
Right. Exactly. Well, it would always be optional, you know.
Yeah. Odd World, Smell-O-Vision.
Ooh,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Any children's film coming out.
Yeah. I mean, do we want to smell World War One?
Right.
Yeah.
But
it's
two senses. It's expensive right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So will it ever catch on? I don't know.
What I think's interesting, though, is theme parks have actually been relatively successful at administering these VR 3D experiences, and they've been that way for years. I mean, I remember going down to Universal Island Adventure and going on the Spider-Man 3D ride and being very blown away, very impressed by it. Then I saw Spy Kids 3D in theaters several years later and thought I had wasted 2 hours of my life to be retrieved again, as well as, you know, $10 of my money. So, but in certain spheres and circles, these things have actually been catching on pretty well, even so much so that Six Flags is integrating VR into their actual coaster rides.
Wow.
The new Superman ride. You can pay an upcharge and get VR goggles and go through this whole VR experience on the coaster.
Yeah, and the amusement parks, and Chris can probably speak to this too because you went to Universal recently. I went to Universal last year.
Yeah.
And they're doing it really well.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, it's a very limited amount of time and they've got a lot more things that they can do.
Mm-hmm.
But you did, while you were talking, you brought up an interesting point that I thought about, which is I never thought 3D in movies was going to catch on again either.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, back in the days when we had Jaws 3D and Amityville 3D and then even Spy Kids, which was the same crappy 3D that we had with like Jaws.
I like Jaws 3D.
Well, I only saw Jaws 3D on TV, so it was just Jaws D.
it was horrific when that shark was coming at the little control room there at the fake SeaWorld.
I'm glad that looked good on some format, because now when you see it on TV, it's just like
I was
a
like
blob
9 years old.
Screen.
I mean, I saw it in Ocean City. So you think I went into the water? No.
If anyone wants to see the cheesiest postcard ending to a movie, pop in your DVD of Jaws 3, not 3D, but because unless I don't know, maybe they have a 3D version.
It's pretty lame. No,
but like the ending, they've got like the two people kissing out in the sunset in the water, and they've got like dolphins popping out, like weirdly placed, just so
it's super lame.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Don't the dolphins like freeze frame right over like Dennis Quaid and Beth Armstrong?
It's almost as if that someone put a GIF file of a dolphin just perfectly placed. It's ridiculous.
But Lou Gossett Jr. Right, he was in there. Was it Lou Gossett Jr.?
Anything Lou Gossett
Jr. was
in
it. Yes,
because I remember I was like. Dennis Quaid and Lou Gossett Jr. I was like, you guys are great in Enemy Mine. How will it be here?
He went on to bigger and better things in like the Left Behind movies with Kirk Cameron.
Yes.
So, yeah.
All four Iron Eagles.
Yes. So, yeah.
Oh, my word. That's funny. So, yeah, getting back to E3. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think, Bob, what's going to need to happen is the stores are going to have to get loaded with these VR machines, and people are going to have to get in and actually test the technology. Because, you know, I didn't get into a store and play PlayStation 3. I mean, it was a matter of Xbox One or Xbox 360 or PlayStation 3 when I was going to make a decision. At that point, video games were video games. I mean, we know what's coming out with consoles. There's really nothing big that's going to blow us away at this point. Hey, what's your preference in game leanings? Virtual reality is a whole nother beast where it's, you know, $400 for something that I haven't tried before. Actually, let me rephrase that. No, I have tried it before in other settings, and it's flopped big time. So what's this going to do? I mean, if you remember, Nintendo came out with a VR thing, you know, back in the day.
And I got a headache when I tried that in Sears.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but this was supposed to be the next big thing in VR.
It's
and
like it real life, only more painful.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Yeah,
it's so, like burning laser laser lights into your eyes.
I mean, and that was when I picked one up. It was like on clearance for $20, and I returned it a week later because I couldn't stand it.
You're like, I think I had an aneurysm.
Yeah, exactly. I should be asking for more than my $20 back.
It won't come off.
Can I get a referral, please?
That's right. You know, but now paying $400 for something, is this something that I'm going to go in? Okay, maybe the graphics are great, but hey, maybe it's still giving me a headache every time I play it. So,
Or nausea.
Yeah. Although, you know, in some cases, that might actually be a testament to how good the game is.
True.
Well, I have a question about just think about the future of VR. Let's say it does take off. Let's say they manage to successfully integrate it where not if it doesn't necessarily become the thing that replaces every gamer's preference. Mm-hmm. And let's compare that to like 3D with movies. Like now, it's a viable option. Like when we go to the screeners, half the time they screen it in 3D.
Yeah.
I personally, as a film lover, don't really like the 3D that much. It never really adds anything to the experience. I guess the question is, do you see, when we go back to that question about video games as art or devolving in their ability to tell stories or be art, they can be two different things and they can be the same thing. Do you see this as potentially opening up that field, or do you see it as something that might even become an impediment in the sense that if VR is more flashy surface level stuff, is it going to be easier to throw in games that are more bells and whistles and less storytelling and art? Because 3D, certainly that's happened in some movies.
My thought is if it's done right, this is going to be more than just bells and whistles. If it's done right, this is going to be a completely immersive experience. And I think of Battlefront. You know, I'm on the screen in first person. I'm not just there because even with first person, you still feel like a third person. Mm-hmm. You know, you still feel set back.
Agreed.
But if you're actually in it, looking at it through the person's eyes, you know, where I can duck behind the wall and I'm seeing the wall up close, you know, I'm actually able to look through the bullet hole to see the guys that are there. And if they put in the experiences of, you know, the gun controllers and things like that, where you can pop out and shoot, I think this is something that could really enhance the gameplay experience. We see this to a certain extent in military applications. Military does have some pretty decent VR stuff
they're working with
in terms of training and all that. So, this is taking that, you know, $1 million concept and trying to whittle it down into something that the average household owner can buy. And if they can do that on some level of success, I think this is going to be not replacing it like you were saying, but this could be the next step in enhancing the gameplay.
Just to add to that, VR, I love the prospect of it taking off. Mm-hmm. I want it to take off. It's going to be fully immersive. And one thing that's going to be the thing, at least visually, it's going to be fully mm-hmm. immersive. And I know some will have, if you have headphones, well, there you have two senses. But there is not going to be, you're going to see your living room or your base, wherever your video game setup is. Your peripheral vision, you can just move your eyes to the right or the left, and you're going to see the environment within the game, instead of seeing your living room. So I think that's huge. And I don't want developers to do what they did with the original Nintendo Wii. So how cool was it the first time you had that Wiimote and you were swinging it around and developers got a hold of it? Oh, well, let's just make everything under the sun. And what the end result was just a boatload of crappy games.
Yeah, it was just gimmick. It was pure gimmick.
It was a novelty. I don't want that to happen.
That's exactly what I was getting at. Are we going to see people really pushing?
Right.
Is pushing the boundaries? It's always going to happen. But is it going to be the exception or the rule?
You've got to have quality content.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I was saying, and then Chris, I want to get your thoughts on this. We were talking about this before we started, Bob. I'm nervous because one of the games that they debuted was Batman VR. Mm. Batman is a third-person game. That's a game that I don't necessarily need to be immersed in the world. I don't want my third person games to be world immersive. I don't. I want to be able to stand back. The reason why I like standing back is because I like watching the action from that character's point of view.
Seems
I like standing
disorienting a little too. Like
right, and that's why I don't necessarily want to be immersed in
especially
that
with
world.
A brawler like that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
You really need to be able to survey from a little bit of a distance what's going on. I think you're absolutely right about that with third person. It could be more of a hindrance than anything else. But
yeah. General thoughts on VR, though, Chris?
My only experience with VR thus far is I watched like a Megadeth video with like a headset on. And you got David Mustaine on there, and he's like strumming the guitar and singing and stuff. And the problem was, I was watching this thing. I was like, I tilt my head slightly to the side, and it moves away, and then somehow kind of recenters. So my head's at a weird angle, but I'm still not seeing what I want to see, so then I have to move my head again. And when I do that, then it slowly kind of centers again. So before you know it, you're like, you have a crick in your neck from like trying to see.
It's like the Exorcist.
Yeah. And then I got a headache. So
right.
Right now it's not, my experience has not been perfect, but I think when they actually really put a lot of work and effort into it, I think it could actually help develop the story, the immersiveness of it. I think it could be more than just bells and whistles, but also at the same time, I think like you guys are talking about, we're going to see a lot of crap too.
Yeah.
We're going to see a lot of stuff that's just for the bells and whistles and not for anything further than that. But you know what? If we get some good titles in there, mixed in there, I'm fine with that.
So you know what I'm looking forward to? I think if this does take off, the kind of game that I want to see, I think once we see the first title of this type, will be the horror game. Like you think
just Resident Evil.
Playing Alien Isolation. Yes, Chris gave me the Alien Isolation game, and I think that game in of itself is terrifying. Like it's just have you played it, Bob?
Isolation? Yes. No.
Oh, it's crazy because it's not like Aliens where you've got all those space marines fighting hundreds of aliens. It's basically back to almost the plot of the first movie where it's just you on a ship with one alien and you've got in some cases a wrench. And you are in the dark and you can sometimes see the tail move behind you. I'm like, this is not relaxation. It's like, daddy's crying again.
Why is the couch wet? Right?
Imagine the first Silent Hill or, that type of game made in this. I think that's where you're going to see that melding of the gimmick, the melding of the storyline where you start to crystallize an emotion. And of course, the question is, will VR ever move beyond the crystallizing emotions of like fear and adrenaline?
Right.
Are we going to get the peaceful, happy,
Yeah. It's interesting you mentioned that because I feel like horror always is sort of that element in things. Like in horror movies, the first thing is, that's the first stuff that really gets all the like 3D effects popping out at you.
True.
You really start to see a lot of things coming because of horror for what it is. It is about what's coming at you a lot of times.
It's a very visceral genre.
Exactly. So I think that you're absolutely right on the money with that because that's just the genre does that for the industry, I think, that kind of stuff.
One of the things that I think even just on a base level that I think this could be good for is if you guys, you know, SimCity, Roller Coaster Tycoon, like those type of simulations, I think this could be an opportunity for them to really take it in doing two things with it. First of all, you building your world from the outside and then you getting in the virtual reality and living in your world.
Wow.
I think if they could, that. That would be a whole new element that, you know,
get people starving to death again.
You know, EA is listening and writing all this down, and
yeah, that's right.
You'll see none of that notes. Money. Yeah.
It's like Tony Stark, you know, in the Iron Man things. He always got those fantastical computer programs.
That's right.
With the holograms and stuff, you'd probably be able to do that in those kind of games. Right. You'd be like, wow. Move your hand this way,
yeah.
And zoom in on the right property that you want to work on. You know, it'd be pretty cool.
And I think that's VR done right. You know, where you're now seeing and experiencing things that before you weren't able to do. You know, I mean. Bob, you know, you were talking about having kids. How cool would it be to go into SimCity and build a world with them and then go in and interact with them in that world, you know?
That would be awesome.
So, yeah, I mean,
by the time that happens, my kids will probably want nothing to do with me. But,
Dad, where's the money?
Dad, can I have the car keys? You know, so, yeah, for sure.
But, you know, so, yeah, I think hit or miss, hopefully it's a hit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I think we all agree the prospects are huge.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Don't let us down.
That's right.
There is an elephant in the room. Like you know, we're all Christian men. At least I think we are.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I literally just met everybody in this room. But I read an article on CNET, the technology website, today, and there's a porn company at E3. I actually was listening to another podcast, Tech Reformation. They were talking about how porn often leads in technology.
Yes, when you have platforms, and this is not from personal experience, but just knowing that like every like platform, when you go back to like the difference between VHS and Beta,
yep.
The thing that happened there with all the industry people observing it was that it was whichever that industry, the porn industry, picked. Which in that case was VHS, and then of course Beta fell by the wayside. Same thing happens when everyone was like, you had Blu-ray versus what was the other? The HD. And I remember a friend of ours.
I was the loser who got HD DVD.
A friend of ours had HD.
I was an Xbox guy, so I bought it.
Me too. Yeah, same here.
But that has played out. Now again, that's one of those things you're always going to sort of deal with and have to. I think put up with, in a sense. I mean, it's been true all the way back. There's every time a new piece of technology comes out, in addition to all, and beyond just the porn industry, there's all the positive ways we can think of it being used, and there's always going to be somebody that's going to use it for an end it wasn't intended to be used for, and they're going to find a niche there, and it's always something you just have to deal with, I think, in any format, going all the way back, where you're talking about the printing press. You know, there's no new
paintings
form of
on cave walls.
You're right. Like, hey, guess what I can do? Curves. And but like all the way back, you've always dealt with that. Yeah. And I think there are probably even other ways of getting beyond that, like with VR, where you start to get in. A question I don't really ask much, but it's something that, like, you know, I think journalists always still like to go back to. We all remember back in the 90s when video games were going to turn everybody into violent, horrible killers, you know? And it is a strange time where we live in, where we don't think much about that anymore, which I think is legit because I don't think they turned them into killers. But we also do see certain elements of desensitization,
for sure.
However we say that word, happening in our culture. And like you say, at E3, that they're standing up and having to stop and take a moment to mention a really tragic, horrible thing that happened. It has no tie, per se, to virtual reality. And I'm not suggesting that these systems are going to make us more violent. But I think the more immersive we get to create a system, we're going to get to a point where we're going to want to live in those worlds more and more and not want to be connected. And empathy and compassion are the things that truly prevent stuff like that from happening. And the more we get into, you know, I'm not trying to sound like a Luddite, but the more we draw into an artificial experience, the greater the potential is for us to lose our sense of connection.
Right. Well, I think it plays into our sensibilities as humans to want to – we want life easy, you know. And it's much easier to interact with someone, you know, who's a world away on the other end of a screen, you know, even whether it's good or bad. You know, it could be, you know, being the most polite person in the world. It could also be, you know, I mean, the internet can make bullies out of weak men, you know, someone who would never dare saying things to you.
Keyboard warriors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and I think that's what, you know, we see. I mean, cyberbullying is coming up and you know, that's becoming huge.
It's definitely here. Yeah.
So, you know, the more someone can, you know, drown away and get out of reality, whether it's for an escape or whether it's to bolster, you know, who they seem to be, you know, that's always going to be a pull toward feeding the flesh.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. So, I mean, but yeah, like Nathan said, each new technology, they seem to be at the forefront of it. The content is not creative at all. It is, you know, so, you know, for the rest of us, we really are hoping that these content creators, these developers, these game developers, make compelling stuff. So I think, you know, for it to hit that mainstream, that's going to be huge. Well, content is king, right?
Yeah.
All right. Any last thoughts on E3? We are winding down on time, but just want to give you guys an option or thoughts on things coming out, things you're excited about.
I got one thing to say, and I'm really angry about it. Okay?
Go for it.
No Red Dead Redemption 2 sequel.
Yes. What's that about?
No. Now, to be fair to Rockstar Games, they almost never. I went back and looked. You know, I looked at like Grand Theft Auto 5 announcement, Red Dead Redemption, the original one, announcement. You know, I Googled all of that. They never announce at E3. They always do it to the beat of their own drum. And
it's worked out so far.
It certainly has. Yeah. You know, Red Dead Redemption is my favorite game of all time. It's the only game I've completed. It's an open world where I found every little trinket you could. You know, because once I beat the story, I just didn't want it to end.
Mm-hmm. And that was a cool game that played really neatly with story and perspective, Red Dead Redemption.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, and it was a bit historical. You know, it was at the end of the Wild West. So, you know, the parent company, Rockstar Games, Take-Two Interactive, they have already gone on record as saying, you know, this is a permanent franchise for us. So it's not a question of if, it's just a matter of when. And it's been 6 years since the last Red Dead Redemption was released.
Now, talk about a game that would be great for VR. Oh man, I would love
Maybe that's scene. What they're waiting for. Boy, I'll tell you what, that'll break my bank and not make my wife
west.
Happy.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I'll probably have to, like, you know, sell an arm or something like that. Yeah, so.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead. We're going to sign off now. Chris, Bob, thanks so much for joining us. Such a blast. Great getting your input.
Really big pleasure. Thanks for having us.
All right. We're going to sign off.
It's been fun, guys. Take care.
Really shook the pillars of heaven, didn't we, Wayne?